Okay, so I'm trying to record another audio journal here, and I'm working with a new device. I don't know if it's going to turn out the way that I hope it will, but you have to make the effort anyway. I have to feel like I have to make an effort anyway. For me, what I've been working on during the past couple of months here has been mostly just spiritual cultivation, attempting to clear up my crown chakra, as well as my other chakras, but most notably the crown chakra, because the crown chakra guides a person's life. The crown chakra is where we tell the story that narrates and kind of dictates the relationships and the expectations of a person's actions and behavior. It's where the karmic history resides. And just generally, you can't bullshit your crown chakra. You communicate with your crown chakra, you clear your crown chakra, you enliven it, you sometimes, I guess, you can project into it. But when you're healing your crown chakra, you're healing it from the basis of your meditative practices and your experiences, your responses to concepts and things and people. And it's where it's supposed to be the seat of the soul. It's where all of your energies are kind of communicated through and from the crown chakra. So I've been working on clearing that up. A long time ago, I haven't really been having the greatest experiences with love. And I'll tell you a story about what happened there and why that is. A long time ago, I think I did mention that I've had a few tumultuous relationships, effects of relationships. And for most of my life, I've kind of been, I had been pushed into a position where I was projecting a persona which was a little bit different from what I wanted to be. And I think what I felt I really was and really desired on the inside. And so I developed this practice of developing personas for different situations and being a certain type of person for different situations. And for a lot of people, because they can't, generally people can't see into your soul, they can't understand the spiritual practices that you're involved with, and they can't, they generally, unless they know you really well, they can't really understand why it is that you do the things that you do, or why it is that you say the things that you say. I think oftentimes people say and do things with a specific intention that will be illustrated in the future. Maybe that's just for me. Maybe that's just something that existed for me because I felt this grand tension between what I was expected to be and what was desirable for me to be and what I internally desired to be. Because a lot of the people in my life who had control over my life, too much control on my life, were unsustainably practicing people. They demanded more from me than was requisite, than was reasonably expected to demand from any individual. So I had to be a certain way. I had to conceal a lot of things. And I had to give way more than I should have had to give just to survive, just to exist in the world, just to maintain a regular, normal life. So, and that was, I think, one of the reasons why I was a different person in different places is because when you're expected to be so much, like everything to every person, it's impossible to meet all of those needs without developing different types of people, different styles of personas, and all kind of like projected from an internal basis point of a core individual. So it's almost pressuring a person or requiring a person to become a divine being just to exist in the world. And because that generally is what a divine being is, it's this spiritual essence which can give and can accommodate everybody's failings and idiosyncrasies and unreasonableness, can accommodate everybody's faults while not having any themselves, which would inhibit them from accommodating the faults of other people. And also, a divine being is different things to different people, because every individual person relates to them in a different way. Every person's relation to divinity is unique to themselves, and the divine soul maintains itself in its structure and sustains like a whole universe around itself by its own practices, and doesn't demand anything from other people, but it is a source of strength for others. And so, for I guess when I broke out of this condition and I said I need to be more of an honest person, I need to have more integrity as a person, I need to develop a personal space where I can be not just everything for everybody, because that can break a person apart if the individual person isn't given the respect and recognition that is required in order for them to maintain that core structure of soul. I guess what I'm saying is that if a person is disrespected and at the same time expected to fulfill everybody's expectations and to fulfill the spiritual needs of everybody in their life without any regard for their own spiritual needs, then it becomes unsustainable. So every individual has to fulfill their own spiritual personal needs, and while they're fulfilling the personal needs, that enables them to fulfill the needs of other people. And if you don't have the space and the recognition and understanding that is required to sustain the soul, then the soul falls apart. And this is just it's a ubiquitous principle. So if you have a God, if you worship God, and you expect God to give you all of these things, and you don't worship God, you don't recognize God in any way, you don't give God anything, then God can't respond and be for you what it is that you expect a God to be. So I think maybe that's one of the things that's happening in Western cultures, is we've gotten to this point of individuality where everybody wants for themselves, everybody is so great and, you know, full of themselves, and they don't accredit, by not accrediting enough to God and giving too much to themselves, building themselves up too much, rather than building up their divine being, or rather than giving back to the source which sustains them spiritually, then God can't exist in that kind of environment. So we're seeing an increase of atheism and secularism, but secularism isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's that within secularism, we still have to be spiritually minded, and we still have to practice sustainable principles, or principles of sustainability, which allow for the spiritual components of any individual's life to continue to motivate and inspire them and fulfill them and give them the sustenance, spiritual sustenance, that they need in order to live, but also that they give God the recognition that is required in order for God to sustain them and encourage and motivate their lives. So And there's a sense of sacrifice. You sacrifice of yourself, your imperfect self, to a divine being in order for that divine being to give to you and then sustain your life. I think there are people who don't understand this, and they need to be kind of shown this way of living, shown these principles, that when they become not godless, but God, not even necessarily God-fearing, but respecting God and understanding the principles of spirituality, which enable them to survive, they need to be shown this so that they can live sustainable lives. And I think, generally speaking, because I've been different things to different people, and because I've been put in situations where I have to act in the specific way in order to get the results that are most the most positive, beneficial results from a given situation that I'm thrown into, generally it's been kind of perceived that I'm such and such a type of a person, defined by these actions, which I've kind of been, you know, forced to participate in, forced to exude specific types of characteristics, just to get the greatest positive outcome from a really horrible situation. I have mentioned in the past that I, in my practice of spirituality, have been consuming a lot of negativity, realigning it, communicating with people, and recreating synergistic environments where people can appreciate and feel the beauty of life and cultivate their own spirituality and present themselves and live in a way that is not only edifying to themselves, but is also spiritually sustaining for themselves and for other people. And when you get this breakdown of discord and arguments, it's natural. It's natural to have these chaotic discords and these periods of destruction and non-conformity of, what is the word for it, cacophonous kind of barrage of a mix of different spiritualities and expectations thrown into one pot together. It's natural for these kind of chaotic situations to occur, it necessitates people who can then see all of these different actors and different contributing factors and create something more beautiful, create dramatic elements which are more beautiful, and where each individual involved can feel inspired, can feel motivated, can re-enliven their sense of hope and love for God and for the universe, and begin to act in a way which is inspired inspired by God. It's inspired by the creative energies of the universe, which they may or may not even understand or recognize, but at least they get a sense of, I give this, I do these things for these results. And when these results occur, I feel this way. And this is a sustainable way of living. And I've been doing a lot of like mandala practices. And I think that's kind of what writers do. That's what people in the performing arts do quite a lot of, is they see characters and characteristics and events that have played out in the past, which haven't been perhaps the most ideally performed, haven't been the best for society. And then they see those things and they think, well, if this can be shown in this way, in a more poetic way, in a more enlivening way, in a way which is more inspiring for people, and we have all of these dramatic actors which are, you know, now prevalent and present in the lives of these occurrences, in the situation of these occurrences, then in the future, what will result will be something more beautiful and more harmonious and more lovely and positively affecting for everybody in the future. And in the process of this, actors get a sense of their own spiritual identity. And it then becomes possible for an actor or a celebrity to become a spiritual figure. And when I say that, I don't mean to build them up to the extent of, you know, being these celebrated gods and demigods, but I think of it in the sense of a point system, where a person cultivates themselves to the point where they have earned the right to gain the respect of a spiritual person. And all over the world, we have these different concepts of spiritual people, gurus, bodhisattvas, swamis. And in the Western world, we have artists. And artists can see the chaos and degeneration of people and difficult situations in politics and people's personal lives, and they can bring all of those things together and express it in a more beautiful way, and through this process they gain a relationship with the people who look up to them and who respect their work, who follow them almost in the same sense as you would follow a swami or a bodhisattva. They become the essence of the character, the core identity of who they are, and they then present these different personas through acting, through music, through albums, through artwork, and in business too. In business, you can create products like Steve Jobs we have so many celebrated figures now in corporate America, Elon Musk, or King Bezos, but people who are becoming celebrities in the business world are, I think, practicing and understanding these same concepts, that we take in something that's negative and we become inspired in what it is that we create for the purpose of enlivening other people's lives, making other people's lives better, making products that people have a relationship with, not just things that fulfill their needs and wants, but things that make their lives better, things that they see, they look at, it becomes a part of them, a part of their life, and they develop a relationship with the brand or the sense of culture, business culture, that's personified and projected by the company, by the brand, by the executives, which give these presentations and maintain the relationship that they're developing with their customers and their employees. So it's like this sense of spiritual stewardship that develops in this sense. And so the point system, this is the way I think, I call it the point system. It's visualized as this idea of stochastic marks in the energetic field of culture. And each individual has a point, trailing from this point is like a cone, and within the cone there are descending orders of rank within an order that they embody, and a following that they embody, and that they lead and cultivate as individuals. And how do you become this type of person? Well, it's through understanding the principles of spirituality required in order to do so, and by being the type of person, developing these points of social graces and these things that you do for the sake of others in their lives, you develop a karmic history, in a sense. You develop a karmic balance and a karmic history, and this enables you opportunities that are required to develop your personality in such a way that you become like a bodhisattva or a guru. But it's the same principles, but they're exuded in Western culture. And this is something you can see that I'm getting excited about this. This is something that is really important to me. It's something that really something that I really believe in, because when these principles are practiced across the world in different forms, but you know, ubiquitously, then we gain a sense of a world culture. We gain a sense of a worldwide religion, which isn't recognized as a religion, but just we see the principles involved, and universally we practice these principles in different religions in different ways. And so I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about those principles of stewardship and spiritual sustainability. And I guess because generally speaking, people know that I'm a certain type of person. They generally speaking, people know that I have striven to be a person of values and virtues, and I've striven to, you know, provide uplifting situations and inspirations for other people. And I've done this through volunteering and also through being vocal in the community, and through educating myself through my own meditative spiritual practices. I don't even have to go out and do a thing besides meditate, and I can be involved in these processes. I can cultivate a more positive spiritual energy about myself. I can purify my own energetic body, and I can communicate with other people in a spiritual sense, which makes other people's lives better, which enables other people to more fully and aggressively pursue their own designs, their own pursuits, in synergistic and sustainable ways. And so I've been working on this to gain enough reserve and clarity and order within my life and within my spiritual being, so that I can, you know, go back into the world and pursue what it is that I want to pursue. But I need that sense of that energy. You know, I need that energy in reserve, which comes from that type of continuous spiritual practice, which cultivates and develops it. And what's happened for me quite often is people, because they know that not only have I striven to do these things, but I've also been a little bit of a playboy, because well, a long time ago I got catfished, and I had a wild weekend with an actress, and I think sex tape got online, and I've, you know, slept with people that would be considered abhorrent for me to sleep with because of the potential violation of social contracts. And you know, I haven't done these things of my own will in a lot of ways, but I've done them because I've been thrown into situations that I haven't really agreed to or haven't really wanted to be a part of, and I just, you know, have been in some sense compelled to go along with them for the purpose of the best possible positive outcome. So people kind of like know me to be not only a virtuous person, but also a little bit of a playboy, and sometimes a little bit edgy, I guess, a little bit provocative. And this, I think, brings me to the issue of sex. It's oftentimes very restricted in different spiritual traditions, and specifically in the Christian tradition, it's been It's been restricted and controlled. It's like a controlled substance. And it's, for me, it's in no wise a childish thing. It's something that you have to be really mature to understand and to discuss. But in my opinion, it's necessary that we be open in expressing and discussing the issues associated with sex, and that we cultivate our own sexual energy and our own sexual lives in a way which is, you know, follows the same principles and practices of spiritual sustainability and you know, synergies, which where you get people together that can develop a product together, developed you know, something that's inspiring for other people that they can then use to motivate themselves in their own creative endeavors. So it's a creative process. It's inseparable from a general sense of will and motivation in any aspect of life. And it's inseparable from the creative process of design and architecture and the creative processes of poetry, of any of the dramatic arts, and also from the principles of leadership, of performance in leadership, of truly inspiring people and gaining a following that, you know, gaining trust and gaining gaining some sense of you know, love and support from other people. People have to buy into it. People have to understand you. People have to love you, and they don't love you without the personal expression of your own sense of self, your own personality, your own spirituality, and expressing your own difficulties, your own situations that you've been through, which haven't necessarily been the best situations, but it's bittersweet, and these are the things that happen, and it's very poetic and beautiful. And when you live in this way and you express things in this way, it inspires people. It has the possibility of inspiring people. But if you don't look at it in a positive way, and you just look at it with a stern finger, and you just want to point the finger at people and throw the law at people, then there's nothing that can exist in that kind of environment. There can't be the inspiration, the motivation, and the drive that is necessary to truly inspire people, to uplift people, and to build wonderful, great new things. And new products and services, as well as new art forms. So it's something that we should not shy away from. And I understand that it's difficult for a lot of people, and that's one of the things that acts within the social environment that makes it more poetic and more beautiful, is that there are these ideas of, I don't know, you know, I don't know if this is right or that's right, and we discuss it, and we bite our fingernails, and, you know, we tease people, we have these conversations about it, and we think about it, and it sparks debate and it sparks conversation, and from that conversation and debate we can develop a better sense of self, we can better understand ourselves, we cultivate a stronger spiritual identity, and when we develop a sense of self and a better sense of relating with people, then we become more grounded in the social fabric, which is an eternal social fabric. We learn from the things that we do, and from our discussions and from our interactions with people, and through this process we gain a stronger purity, a greater purity, a more positive impact and effect on the lives of other people. And by doing this, we develop our own immortality. We carve out our space in social fabric and develop the possibility of becoming immortal ourselves. And a sense of immortality in the possibility of our personality inspiring other people to the point of living on after death within the society and culture of which we were a part through the lives of the people, but also the possibility of developing our own immortality through the refinement of our spiritual processes of just not tasting of death ever. And I think most people don't believe that's possible. Most people, that's not part of their spiritual repertoire or their set of beliefs, but for me it is. And I just don't believe that any one faith holds the monopoly on that process or that possibility, because it is a principle. It's a spiritual principle which is universal. And so I've been thinking about this, and I am completely alone on Christmas. It's Christmas Day right now, and I feel fine. I don't feel very much, you know. I don't feel any tension, any pain, any sorrow or sadness. I don't feel ashamed. I don't feel disappointed. I'm not happy. I wouldn't say that I'm content. I'm upset about the fact that my relationships aren't in the place where I want them, but I don't blame myself for that situation, because I've been doing everything that could possibly be expected of a human being in order to make sure that my relationships do improve and my overall standing, my social standing in my society does improve. So I feel just a sense of, it's almost nihilistic. It's just a sense of c'est la vie, this is the way it is, and I'm just gonna do, you know, what I know is best for me to do and continue on that process. And in the future, if I continue to practice these principles in this way, my life will be much better in the future. And I don't necessarily hold out hope for that fact. My life isn't living in the future. It's not contingent. My happiness is not contingent upon those possibilities, my life is not contingent on the necessitation of a great and wonderful future. But I am finding some sense of stillness and equanimity, some sense I think it's just a lack of emotion, and you can correct me if you think that this maybe is or isn't right. Maybe if you think that I should be doing things differently or should feel some different way, but it's just giving me, understanding the possibilities within my future is giving me a sense of, this is just the way the things are. This is the way that God made the world to be, and it's the way it always has been and always will be. And if things go the way that they should go, and if people can comprehend and gain the understanding that is required in order for them to fulfill their responsibilities and to live their lives in a way which improves the lives of others, then I will have a much better future. If people decide to become complete Satanists all over the world and destroy things, then, you know, maybe I won't have the best future. But eventually that comes to fruition to a point in some other sense in the future. I will be reincarnated as an extraterrestrial being or something, and I won't be part of humanity anymore, and you know, whatever. It's not really something that I need to worry about. So What else? So I just wanted to touch on like the point system, the sense of sexuality, and how I'm feeling, and what it, like the process that I'm going through with my meditation and my spiritual cultivation, things like that. I have been a little bit disappointed in humanity about things. I've been disappointed in the actions of humanity for a long time about a lot of things. That does bear some weight on me, but I worry about the things that I can change, and I do the things that I know that I should be doing, and I try not to worry about it too much. And I hope that as I continue these processes and I do gain better relationships with specific actors in cultures and in places which will breed more stability and peace in the world, that I will gain the footing and the presence that I need to be more proud and happy with my humanity, with humans in general. So that's what has been going on for me, and feel free to message me. I am happy to make new friends, and I hope to break down the walls between me and superstardom at some point here in the not too distant future. And God bless, namaste, and I love you. Peace.